What if you could design, test, and validate a new market-ready material for an AI chip or a jet engine, not in a decade or even a year, but in a matter of days? According to the U.S. Department of Energy and labs across the West, that's not science fiction. It's happening right now, and it's about to fundamentally reshape global manufacturing. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that drives business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in the physical world, driven by the digital. We're not talking about software. We're talking about the core materials that our entire industrial base is built on. The theme is acceleration. Research and development cycles that used to be measured in years are now being compressed into weeks or even days.
That's right. We're seeing the industrial-scale deployment of what we call closed-loop materials discovery. This is the convergence of physics-aware artificial intelligence, high-throughput robotic experimentation, and high-performance computing. It's creating a new paradigm of self-driving laboratories that are autonomously inventing the next generation of alloys, polymers, and catalysts. This isn't theoretical. It's being deployed by companies like BASF and championed by the U.S. government.
Let's start with that government angle. The U.S. Department of Energy made a major declaration this week, calling AI-curated data a turning point for materials discovery. Troy, what exactly is the technology here, and why is it a turning point now?
The core technology is a move away from purely data-driven AI to what Argonne National Laboratory is calling Physics-Grounded Materials AI, or PhysMAT AI. Instead of just feeding an AI millions of data points and asking for a pattern, these new models are built with the fundamental laws of physics and chemistry embedded as constraints. This makes their predictions vastly more reliable and capable of extrapolating into unknown territory.
So the AI isn't just guessing based on old data, it actually understands the rules of chemistry.
Precisely. Argonne's new multi-agent AI system, announced on August 6th, exemplifies this. It uses multiple specialized AI agents that collaborate to run atomistic simulations, slashing discovery timelines for new battery and aerospace materials from months to just days. One agent proposes a structure, another predicts its properties based on physics, and a third refines the structure. It's an automated expert R&D team running 24/7.
Okay, so how does this specifically affect a U.S. or European manufacturer? Let's say someone making high-performance components.
For them, this is both a massive opportunity and an existential threat. The opportunity is to radically accelerate their own innovation. A European aerospace firm could use a similar AI framework, like the one from the University of Toronto that just discovered a 3D printable alloy stronger than Inconel 625, to develop custom components for jet engines on a timescale previously unimaginable. The threat is that a competitor anywhere in the world is already doing this.
And for trading companies and distributors who deal in specialty materials.
Market timing and sourcing are now on hyperdrive. A new superior polymer or catalyst isn't 5 years away, it could be 5 months away. They need to monitor these AI materials foundries, like the new consortium CuspAI formed with Meta and NVIDIA, as primary sources of market disruption. Partnerships will be key, getting early access or distribution rights to materials discovered by these platforms.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Don't just invest in AI for your business analytics. You need to be evaluating AI-driven R&D platforms for your core product. Conduct a strategic review of your material suppliers. Are they using these tools? If not, they are about to be leapfrogged. Consider pilot programs with firms like Orbital Industries, now working with BASF, to see how these virtual labs can integrate into your workflow.
You mentioned batteries, Troy. That's a sector with enormous strategic importance for the U.S. and Europe, especially in automotive and energy storage. What's the impact there?
The impact is profound. We're seeing the creation of fully integrated AI robotic platforms designed specifically for battery innovation. A company called Automat Solutions just launched one on August 10th. It combines AI prediction, high-throughput robotic synthesis, and automated characterization into a single closed-loop system.
Break that down. What does a closed-loop system do in practice?
It means the AI doesn't just suggest a material, it sends instructions to a robot, which then physically creates the new electrolyte formulation. That sample is automatically tested, and the performance data is fed directly back into the AI, which learns and designs the next, better experiment, all with minimal human intervention. A-Lab, a similar system, synthesized 36 novel inorganic compounds in just 17 days.
That speed is astonishing. How does this help U.S. and European manufacturers trying to compete in the EV market or in grid storage?
It allows them to bypass the competition's current material advantages. A European car manufacturer struggling with battery performance in cold weather could deploy a system like the one from ACS Omega, which used a generative model to specifically design an electrolyte for high-voltage, low-temperature lithium-ion batteries. It found a promising new molecule, trifluorofluoromethoxymethane, through pure simulation. This targets a specific market weakness and solves it at the molecular level. Cornell's IonNet AI just identified 63,000 potential fast ion conductors for solid-state batteries. The sheer scale is a game-changer.
What's the message for trading companies sourcing battery components or raw materials?
Your supply chain is about to get much more dynamic and complex. The dominant chemical formulas of today might become obsolete quickly. You need to be tracking not just the big chemical companies, but these smaller, AI-native materials firms. They will be the source of next-generation anodes, cathodes, and electrolytes. Sourcing will become less about bulk commodities and more about licensing or partnering for unique AI-designed chemical compositions.
And the actionable takeaway for an executive in, say, the automotive or energy sector?
You must map your technology roadmap against these new capabilities. The development of next-generation batteries for humanoid robotics, as highlighted by a recent PMC report, shows this is about more than just cars. It's about all future autonomous systems. The key action is to invest in a materials informatics team, even a small one, to translate your product needs into the language these AI discovery platforms can work with.
This isn't just about batteries and aerospace. The semiconductor industry is the bedrock of our entire digital economy, and it's hitting a wall. We're hearing about the end of Moore's Law and physical limits below 2 nanometers. How is this AI materials revolution playing out there?
It's seen as the primary solution to breaking that 2-nanometer barrier. An August 14th report in Semiconductor Engineering laid it out clearly. AI and self-driving labs are shortening the discovery timeline for the new materials needed for post-silicon electronics from decades to months.
So we're talking about inventing entirely new materials to build chips from?
Exactly. New dielectrics, new interconnects, new substrates. This is where we see major strategic investment. On August 13th, Purdue University secured a $19 million grant from the National Science Foundation to build a cloud-based AI lab, IconPCL, specifically for semiconductors and materials for extreme environments. It's a national user facility, meaning U.S. companies can get access.
A cloud-based lab for physical materials sounds counterintuitive.
It means researchers and companies can remotely submit requests. The AI designs the experiment, robots in the Purdue lab execute it, and the data is streamed back via the Globus platform. It democratizes access to this billion-dollar infrastructure. The University of Wisconsin-Madison received a similar $25 million grant. This is a coordinated national strategy.
This seems like a massive opportunity for U.S. and European semiconductor manufacturers and equipment makers like Applied Materials or ASML.
It is. Applied Materials just announced a partnership with UC Berkeley on August 13th to do exactly this at their EPIC Center in Silicon Valley. They are co-developing the next generation of materials for AI chips. For a European chip designer, this means you can start designing a chip using a material that doesn't exist yet, but which an AI platform has predicted and validated will be ready by your production deadline. This is what the industry is calling concurrent engineering.
And for distributors of semiconductor chemicals and wafers?
Your product portfolio needs to prepare for diversification. You'll be dealing with materials beyond silicon and gallium arsenide. Look at Discovered Materials, a startup out of IIT Madras that just raised $9 million. Their entire focus is using AI agents to find novel materials to solve AI chip overheating. These are your future suppliers.
The key action item for tech executives.
If you are in the semiconductor value chain, you need a strategy for engaging with these national labs and public-private consortia. Your R&D team should be leveraging these facilities. And if you're a major player like Apple, you might do what they did on August 6th and acquire the capability directly, as they did with Plasmasoft, a European simulation-based design firm.
This all sounds incredibly technology-focused, Troy, but we know that implementing new tech is often more about people than the technology itself. Is the industry ready for the shift?
That is the single most important question, and EE Times published a fantastic analysis on this. Their conclusion, as of August 10th, is that AI adoption in materials R&D now hinges more on people and organizational factors than on the technology's capability. The tools, like neural network potentials that offer the accuracy of traditional simulations at a fraction of the time, are ready. The workforce is not.
What's the core problem?
There's a major skills gap. You have material scientists who are world-class experts in their domain, but don't know how to structure a problem for an AI. And you have data scientists who can build the models, but don't have the deep domain knowledge to understand the physical constraints or interpret the results. The article cites Toyota as a case study, where they succeeded by actively bridging this gap, leading to significant project time reductions.
So for US and European manufacturers, simply buying an AI platform isn't enough.
Correct. It could be a wasted investment. The real competitive advantage will go to the companies that successfully create multidisciplinary teams. They need to train their chemists and metallurgists in data science fundamentals and embed their data scientists directly into the R&D labs. It's an organizational and cultural challenge before it's a technical one.
What does that mean for trading companies? How do they navigate this human element?
When they evaluate a new material supplier, their due diligence must now include an assessment of the supplier's R&D teams. Do they have this integrated AI-savvy structure? A supplier that does is a much better long-term bet, as they will innovate faster. They should also be aware of the data quality problem. A report from Slack and Penn State on August 13th warned that variations in data between labs can misinform AI models. A supplier with rigorous data standardization will produce more reliable materials.
So the final actionable insight is more about HR and strategy than tech.
It is. The immediate action for executives is to authorize a skills audit of their R&D and engineering departments. Identify your domain experts and your data specialists. Then create a formal program to cross-train them. This isn't about turning everyone into a PhD in AI. It's about creating a common language so they can collaborate effectively. The companies that build these translator roles will be the ones who actually capitalize on this revolution.
A lot to process this week. Troy, let's distill this down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for Western executives from this AI-driven materials revolution?
First, the speed of physical innovation has been reset. Product life cycles for things made of atoms, not just bits, are about to radically compress. If your R&D planning is still based on a 5 to 10 year timeline for new materials, you are operating on a dangerously outdated model. A-Lab's 17-day synthesis sprint is the new benchmark.
Second,
the competitive frontier is shifting from manufacturing process efficiency to materials design capability. The ability to use AI to design a proprietary material with superior performance, be it a self-healing polymer or a more efficient catalyst, will create deeper and more defensible moats than simply making the same old thing a little cheaper. This is a shift from process to invention.
And the third takeaway?
This transformation is fundamentally about talent integration. The technology is becoming accessible through cloud platforms and national labs, but the ability to use it effectively is not. The bottleneck is human. Building the internal teams that bridge material science and data science is the most urgent non-technical action an industrial company can take right now.
So the message is clear. The clock is ticking, the game is changing, and it all starts with your people. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change is accelerating, and we'll be here to track the business implications for you.
Thank you for joining us.
To make sure you don't miss a single insight, please subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the technology shaping our industries. Join us then.